next hour
of KDK9. That would be me. Thank you for tuning in. I'm always happy when you take the time to share your afternoons with me. Remember, you can podcast my shows. If you are listening, if you didn't hear quite everything, you can go to mytalk1071.com. Go to the KDK9 show page, and you can click on my Facebook. I'm always posting fun stuff on that and some good stuff that you need to know. And then you can also go to my website, check out my classes, my puppy classes, private classes, things like that. And then, like, for natural flea and tick, you can go click on radio show topics, scroll down, and natural flea and tick control. And then we'll do the trivia, and then we'll also talk about... we had a caller that called in. Well, let's just do it now. Then we'll answer the trivia question.
Okay.
But anyways, they called in about NexGard. I don't even remember. A couple weeks ago, I talked about flea tick Seresto, those collars. There's been 1,700 deaths of pets with Serestos, those collars, and 75,000 complaints about what happened to their animals after putting that collar on. You remember me, please? No chemicals in or on my dog or my cats or me or my horse or anything. Because if you read the labels on it, and if you're okay, if your dog seizes or your cat seizes or your cat dies because you put that crap on it, then it's totally up to yourself. Okay. Well, you read the side effects, and if you're okay with every one of them, but if you do things natural, there is no side effects, folks. Nothing. Okay. Somebody asked about NexGard. Okay. My personal opinion, this is my personal opinion. Okay, folks, is that, that's a pill that you take, or not you, the dog, the cat, you know, cat. And I'm skeptical of anything that you put into a pet, animal, dog, cat, whatever, you know, to take care of things that land on their skin, because that's the poison's being emitted from the inside out. And if your dog or cat has a reaction to it, something they swallowed, guess what? It's in them. You have no recourse. Whereas if you do the spot on, then at least you could quick try to use Dawn dish soap to where that you put that spot on to try to get that oil off of the coat, you know, so that they're not absorbing it anymore. But there again, it kills. Read the labels on this stuff, folks. It kills fleas and ticks. It's the pesticide. And you're putting that in or on your dogs to kill these little pests. Wouldn't you want to use diatomaceous earth, maybe an amber tick collar, maybe a bandana? You know, come on. We are on our knees when we lose these guys. And if we know, all my animals that I lost, I remember a couple of weeks I lost Ethel. She never, ever had any flea tick stuff or in her or on her ever the whole time. I don't know what she had before I had her, but I had her 9 years and all my pets. But anyway, so it's up to yourself, but I choose not to go down that pathway. And you may say, why your vets, you know, promote that stuff? Well, folks, they're in the business. They're, you know, to sell stuff. And that's just the way it is. And so you're the consumer. Before you buy, why don't you investigate? Read the labels. Think about it. Okay, remember our vets, our doctors, they're not gods. We got to do what is best. You know, you're going to research stuff that the doctor wants to give you. So why don't you research stuff that vets want to suggest? So the whole thing is that do your homework. Don't be a drone. Okay, off the pedestal. Okay, why do frogs close their eyes when they swallow?
I'm assuming it helps them.
Yes.
Okay.
To help push food down their throats.
Interesting.
Their eyes are pushed deeper into the sockets help the food move down the throat.
Pretty weird, there we go.
See, and the frogs know. See, our ponds out on our land are fed by springs, and so they're colder than other ponds would be. And so our ponds really, I've heard a couple faint rivets, but it hasn't started singing yet.
Not yet.
No, yeah. And so like I say, if we have a couple more warm days like this, it should warm it up, and then we go out there, it's almost deafening. You know, watching and listening to them all sing is so cool. But anyway, okay, go to the phone lines.
All right, we have Katie, and Katie's dog is now terrified about something outside.
Uh-oh. Hey, Katie, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. What kind of pupper do you got?
I have an 8-year-old plot hound.
Okay, plot hound. We don't see those too very much. Okay, so what's changed? I'm gathering this just happened recently?
Yeah, just probably several weeks ago. We have just a little background. We have a pretty deep backyard for a residential area,
okay.
And we have the invisible fence, mm-hmm. And so I let her out back, and, you know, back in the house doing whatever, and she's barking and barking, and so I go out, and I You know, I go downstairs, come on in, and she's standing in the middle of the yard barking with her nose up in the air.
Okay.
And she won't come. Okay. She will not come up to the door. And I finally got her coaxed to come into the house, and then she got really bizarre. Her tail was tucked tight. She got kind of slanky and low. Her eyes were bugging out, kind of like she does when a storm you know, comes through.
Okay.
But she would be sniffing up in the air, which she doesn't do because she's a hound. Her nose is always on the ground.
Yeah.
So this has happened probably 3 or 4 times.
In the last, couple weeks or?
In the probably the last month.
Okay.
And she, when this happens, she won't go outside. She'll go out the front door and then she'll sniff and then she's right back in. And it is the most bizarre behavior.
Okay, so wait a minute. You were telling me one time she was out in the middle of the backyard doing that and wouldn't come into the house.
Right.
Okay, but now you're talking, she's in the house, but she won't go outside?
So she's initially out when this started.
Okay.
And then she didn't want to come in. So I wondered if something was up, had come through, you know, up by the house. There's coyotes around here.
Yep.
Foxes, mm-hmm. But she's a bear dog. I mean, she'll chase a bear, but mm-hmm. you know, she's afraid of bubbles. So I don't know why.
Afraid of bubbles. She would have liked my house today.
Your brain.
Well, okay. So now when she acts like that, now she came into the house and now what's your demeanor when you said her head's like sniffing in the air, but her tail is tucked and such like that. What's your demeanor? What are you either saying or doing to her when she's doing that?
I'm usually like, what's your deal, girl? Or, you know, you're fine. Nothing's wrong. Uh-huh. You know, I'm not uptight or,
okay.
I don't know, just kind of regular. Just puzzled, why are you acting like that?
But see, like you said, it's up in the air. So do you know if they were, gosh, it could be a whole bunch of stuff. Because plathounds, they have good noses. Were they, do you know if they were doing any mosquito control around you at that time?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea.
Okay. Because they do spread that parathiums, you know, around.
Okay.
And so that's a possibility. By her, when she comes, when you get as humans, our knee jerk reaction is when we see the dog upset, worried, tail tucked, is to go in to console. Okay. And that dogs don't console.
Right.
Okay. But humans do. So what you got to do is you got to go get a squeaker toy, get their mind onto something else. Like, hey, look what I got. Squeaker. I got Big Bird. Yeah. Look at Big Bird.
Sure,
this. And sometimes by just kind of ignoring them, you know, try the little perky stuff and then just ignoring them and let them kind of shake it off. But when you go, you know, what's wrong? You know, whereas we kind of, our leader is strong, straight, you know, upwards, whereas we've got a poop in a group and the dog is looking to it. I'm worried. I'm scared about something. Obviously, they can't relate to it. So then we, because we don't know what it is, we have to become the cheerleader. And not by everybody, when the dog shows fear, we have a tendency to go in for the hug, the pat, and then say, there, it's okay. Dogs have learned through living, like when we go to the vet, when we go to the groomer, places that the dog doesn't like to go, that when we say it's okay, it usually means it sucks. It's going to come pretty soon. As far as we're going to the vet, we're going to the groomer, something isn't going to be good. Okay. So that's why the worst thing you can say is the best thing is if they're there, it's okay. Because now we are recoiled and we're, like I say, don't look like a leader worth following. Because, you know, like when we're scared, we're looking for the person that looks the most got their stuff together in the room. You know what I mean? And then we go lean on them, pick their brain or whatever. And that's what the dogs have to do with us. So we turn into the cheerleader. The squeaky toy usually gets most dogs out of their thing. And if you try that and if that doesn't work, then you just kind of go about your business and, you know, turn on the radio, turn on the TV, just kind of move things along without recoiling and let them figure out. Because
you could just try to ignore it, but then, you know, then she'll be fine. And then a couple of days will pass. And then, you know, she wants to go out and you open the patio door and nope, not doing it. Okay. I'm not going out there. It's just,
okay, but also then on those days you need to keep a log, because being that you have the underground fencing,
yes.
Do you have the actual invisible fence or do you have a knockoff?
The actual invisible. Okay. She doesn't, rarely does she wear the collar anymore.
Oh, okay.
She
okay. Doesn't. Okay. Yeah. Because like when storm builds up in the air, they can feel it coming. The barometric pressure, they're more sensitive to it. If they, now, is this, you said, does she nervous Nelly with storms?
Yeah, in fact, she's my radar. She's laying right next to me now, shaking.
Is coming, yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Can you hold on a sec? We got to run the break, so then we'll chat to more. So hold on. Okay. Now, you should know this one. I think we've had this one on before. Why do otters hold hands when they sleep in the water? We'll be back. That's what's going on. Hello. Thank you for staying with me. Okay. Why do otters hold hand when they sleep in the water?
So they don't lose one another.
Yes. So they don't drift. They don't float away. There you go. Oh. Ding, 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 ding.
That's cute, though.
There you go. Okay. So where are we at?
We're back with Katie.
There we go. Okay. There we go. Okay, where was I? Oh, terrified dog. Okay. The thing is that now, your dog is the one that can feel it coming. How long usually is it before a storm that you notice that the dog acts like that?
Maybe about 15 minutes.
Oh, that's
maybe
awful. Okay.
Less.
Okay, see, I had one dog that he'd let me know a couple hours before it's coming. It's sunny skies.
Wow.
Yeah, it's sunny skies, and his demeanor, that he'd just kind of be a little bit nervous, you know, want to be by me more, and such like that. Okay, because, like I said, because what you said earlier about the nose being in the air, there could be a certain smell that is coming by way of air. It could be like I say, they were sprayed for mosquitoes. Let's say somebody was having a campfire, something. Now, have you had this dog from the very beginning, from a pup, or did you get it secondhand?
We had her since she was about 5 months, I think.
5 months, okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, because that's where the, I think the kicker is. But see, being that she was scared to come in, but then she was also scared to go out. And then that's why I asked about the invisible fence, because sometimes what happens is that, but see, the true invisible fence, not the knockoffs, have a technology in their collar. Because sometimes if a storm is rolling, you're going to be coming, you could be a couple hours away, static electricity builds up in the air. And some dogs start getting little pings, you know, like, you know, how what happens, like how would you walk across the carpet and you touch a light switch,
right?
That little ping,
right.
And that makes them nervous, and they're trying to figure out where it's coming from. And after a while, they put the sound of thunder together with the pings, that if I hear the thunder, I'm going to start getting the pings. And then they start getting nervous even before, as the storm is rolling in, is what it is. Okay. Now, and then with those dogs, if you bring them in the bathroom and put them in the tub, or some small dogs will go behind the wall,
in
the toilet.
She'll jump in the tub on her own.
Okay, and see what she's doing is they learn to ground themselves because of all the piping in the bathroom. They don't, those zings go away. All right, and
gosh,
so
they're smart.
Yes, they are, and so that's why some learn on their own, and some humans have to teach them that when they start getting nervous, you bring them to the bathroom, you read a book, put them in the tub or the shower, or let them go behind the toilet and a wall, and so then that what it does then is it grounds them, and they don't get the pings, and so that's why I was thinking now those couple days, was it rainy? What was it? That's the thing, is to kind of, when it happens again, kind of keep a journal and just, you know, go out there and smell. You know, just stand there and smell, even though we can't compare to a dog. But see if you pick up on any smell that you normally don't do, okay? Is there, did rain happen like an hour later after he came in or out? You know, just start kind of feeling the environment for the next, couple weeks.
Sure.
And then see if you can see a correlation, because let's say that happened that afternoon, and that night we got thunderstorms. Okay, but then a couple of days we didn't have anything, and so the dog was perfectly fine. So that's what we've got to try to do, is put together something, like why is this happening? You know, what, not that we can control it, but we can understand it better. And then also, how you react, where you
respond,
just be the, just be the happy.
It's interesting. I guess I was thinking more she was picking up the scent of a wild animal or something. I don't know.
But if she's thunderphobic, a lot of those thunderphobic dogs, you know, thunder and lightning, they have just a different instinct in them. So that's what I would be curious to see, keep a journal, you know, write down the date, what the morning started. Just kind of log in a journal and smells or whatever. And all of a sudden you might hit the bingo because it's being that it's not happening every day. That's the right. big thing. It's not every day. And so that's why, to me, it's either weather or, you know, something, or, you know, something to that degree. So.
Okay.
But that's what I would do. But the big thing is when she does act like that, get out the squeakers, get out the happiness, maybe go for a car ride, see if that kind of switches the gear, you know, just kind of try different things and just see if you can, you know, get her out of it quicker. All right.
Okay.
Okay, kid. Well, thanks for the call. Very interesting.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. You bet. Thanks, dear.
You bet. Bye-bye. Yeah. And you know what a plot hound is?
I looked up.
Yeah. You don't see them very often. Yeah. They're cool.
They are cool.
Yeah, they are. So anyway, okay, who's up?
All right, we have Susan, and her dog just had some dental work.
Okay, dental work. Hi, Susan, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. So what's going on?
So it'll be 2 weeks on Tuesday that he had his first dental cleaning, and he had to have 7 teeth extracted. And so he was doing pretty good right after, and we switched him to, like, a soft, like, stew type of food.
Okay.
For after, and he was doing good. And then after like a week, we could tell that he was still really in pain.
Okay.
So I took him in and, they checked everything. Nothing looked infected. Everything looked good. But they gave him some more pain meds. He rallied, was doing really well. And now in the last like 2 days, he's just super lethargic and doesn't want to eat.
Okay.
And I didn't know if maybe the stew that I switched him to, like, gave him acid reflux or what could be going on.
Okay, can I ask you what you changed him to? The food?
Yeah, it was Open Farm.
Okay, that's good stuff.
Like, stew and also Stella and Chewy.
Okay, oh, good. That's good stuff. So he's just, now this last couple of days, he's been lethargic. Is there any swelling to his face or when he touches his face or his jaw, like the jaw underneath the jawline or press on his, you know, any place that he doesn't jump or wince?
Not that I've noticed. Yesterday was kind of the first day that I even tried to touch his mouth.
Okay.
And he, like, I was able to, like, lift up his lips and stuff and he was fine.
Okay. What's his doo-doo like?
Well, he hasn't gone in, like, the last day because he hasn't been eating, but it's been fairly normal, maybe a little softer, but...
Okay. How old is he?
He is almost 12.
12? And what kind of dog?
He's half Cavalier, half Westie.
Okay, 12. Okay. Because this may... You know, when you have dental work and teeth pulled and such like that, that puts a lot of, what do you want to call it, germs into the system. Especially teeth had to be pulled, and then they do a scaling. All that is bacteria that goes into their system. So there might be a problem, like in his gut system, as far as maybe a little bit of bacteria or something like that.
Okay.
Well, definitely. Now, how long has it been since he has not eaten?
So he started yesterday where he just had no desire to eat.
Okay.
And I was just kind of like, oh, you know, that's weird, but, you know, sometimes he gets an upset stomach, and then the next day he'll be fine.
Okay. But now, dog, you haven't fed him yet.
And now today, again, we tried to feed him the stew. He wouldn't take it. We tried to feed him some fresh pet food that we had.
Yeah.
And he ate a couple bites of that. And then he loves my son's baby food, so I tried to give him some sweet potato puree.
Uh-huh.
And he took a couple licks, but just does not have interest.
See, something's gone amiss now. You'd be well to take him in to just have his... when they did the surgery, did they do a blood profile on him?
Yes, they did, and everything was normal.
Okay, because my guess is that I would put him on a probiotic, a digestive enzyme. Just because you hate to do antibiotics but if he needs them, he might. Just for the fact that, like I said, there could be something gone in, you know, amok in his gut system. So getting him on good probiotic and a digestive enzyme, try some raw hamburger that's not cold. You want to try something that's room temperature, you know, ground turkey or something like that. Or like Stella and Chewy's, you know, they got the formulated raw, you know, but you want it at room temperature. You don't want it cold. Okay.
Okay.
Dogs eat according to smellability, not patability. But like you said, he loves your son's baby food. He just took a little lick and, you know, where his whole demeanor is, you know, kind of in the toilet here. And so that's why, like I said, I would see what happens tonight. And then you might want to take him in, because my guess what they'll probably wind up doing is putting him on some kind of antibiotic. And if they do, like, you know, there could have been some kind of infection somewhere.
Yep.
And because it also affects the heart, you know, like a lot of people that have heart problems, and you got a you got a Cavalier. Cavaliers are noticed for heart problems. Okay.
Okay.
And so that when you did the dental and stuff like that, that could have sparked something out and started something up. So it's not a problem in his teeth; it's a problem in the system itself. Can you hold on a sec?
Sure.
Because we got to run. Of course, we got to do that. What color is a reindeer's eye in the winter? What color is a reindeer's eyes in the summer? We'll be back. Okay. What color is a reindeer's eyes in the winter?
Black.
Nope. Blue.
Blue.
Yep. Their eyes change color to help them see better in the winter light. Okay. What color is a reindeer's eyes in the summer?
I don't know. Yellow?
Close. Gold brown.
Okay.
Their eyes change color to help them see better in the summer. There you go. Did you know that?
Did
you know that Santa's reindeers are all girls? Because the girl reindeers do not, the boy reindeers shed their antlers for the winter. Okay, girl reindeers hold on to their hair, or their hair, their antlers. So, you know, look at that little reindeer. I met real reindeers. They're really kind of cool. I love their feet. Their feet are really fascinating to watch.
Oh, really?
See, yeah, it's really cool. It's like, but anyway, okay.
More on that later,
there,
right?
Yeah, we're back to the dental work. Here we go.
Susan.
There we go. Hey, Susan. Okay.
Hi.
So that's what might be happening here, that maybe some of the bacteria from the dental and that, you know, stuff like that might affect it, triggered something, you know, whereas you got some kind of infection or whatever. So tomorrow, we'll see what the pup's doing. You know, try some ground hamburger, ground turkey, you know, something that the dog normally doesn't get. It make sure it's room temperature. See if that at least get him eating, because when they go off feed, that's not good. And so then but then when you, if you do make an appointment, have them check a listen to the heart. Okay.
And yep, which they did do just a week ago, and everything sounded fine.
Okay.
That's I'll have them do that again.
But that's after the surgery. Was that after the surgery?
Correct. Oh,
okay. Okay. So that's what that would be my guess. And then I would immediately get probiotics in case they do suggest antibiotics. Remember, you do, let's say, the antibiotic, and then an hour later, do the probiotic, okay? Don't do them at the same time, because then they cancel each other out. Because the probiotic...
Is the enzyme separate from the probiotic?
Yes, it is. The digestive enzyme is a whole different ballgame. That helps you digest your food, all right? And some of the ones I like is VitalPlanet.com and Mercola.com. Those are pretty good ones. If you take if you take digestive enzymes, you can give some to your dog, all right?
Okay.
It's good to change, rotate, all that stuff. But yeah, check that out. But just see how tonight's go, how the eating goes tomorrow morning, then make your decision on what's going on. But like I said, some bacteria with all that could have, you know, started something else. And that's just what happened, because there's a lot of bacteria in our mouth. And that's just the way it is, okay?
Okay.
Okay, kid, thank you. Good luck. Keep me posted, okay?
Thank you.
You bet.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah, no, that's a bummer. Yeah, you know, and, you know, but like I said, anytime we monkey with our teeth and a dog's teeth or cat's teeth or whatever, there's all that tar, the stuff that's on it, and teeth and teeth being pulled, you know, something could have settled wrong. And that's, you know, it. So that's the way it is. We don't know. We just got to handle it as it comes, right?
Right.
Okay, who's up next?
We have Sue, and she's planning on going on a trip and has questions about leaving her cat at home.
All right. Sue, we're going on a trip.
Yes, I love your show, Katie.
Well, thank you.
2-year-old Persian.
Okay.
And we are planning to go out of state for a week. We do have two sets of people coming over probably once a day.
All right.
She's on, of course, canned food.
Good, thank you.
And I don't know what to do.
Okay, as far as?
Well, feeding.
Okay. Well, the thing is then they need to come in twice a day, once in the morning and once at night.
Okay.
How old is your, you said 2 years old?
Okay. 2 years old.
Yeah, and that's the only cat you got.
That is the only cat.
Okay. See, I personally would do it two times a day anyway.
Okay.
Just for the fact that when the, you know, the pack is gone, you know, mom and dad, whatever is all of a sudden they're there by themselves. And so it's kind of like, whoa, I would leave a TV on. You know, so then there's something to look at, you know, motion, something like that, things to listen to 24/7. Don't turn it off. Just leave it on. Don't, you know, put on some crazy wackadoodle stuff. But, you know, like MeTV is good, Antenna TV. But anyway, but yes, yeah, so I would definitely do that. And then also leave like a towel that's dried, obviously, after you took a shower. And then leave that out so then that your smell is there. Maybe put it on someplace where she likes to lay or whatever type thing so that she's got your smell. And then by also too, like, yeah, then they can, they're getting canned, so they'll get fed, you know, the ration in the morning and then the ration at night. And then also there will be a little bit of interaction with humans. And so she's not going to feel so all, you know, by herself. And so because her human part is gone. And that's, and being young like that, she's got a little bit of a Dickens in her. So, you know, play with, you know, with a feather or a dawbird or something like that. You know, the people, if they can, you know, spend a half hour to an hour just kind of hanging out with her, that will, because then you can remember, then the other 22 hours she's by herself.
Right.
And so that's what I would do is do that.
Okay.
By myself. Because once a day, because especially 2 years old, like I said earlier, they have the Dickens in them. And sometimes they can get into themselves into them because there's nobody around. They're bored out of the gourd. And all of a sudden they're doing things that they never would have done. And they get themselves in some precocious ways, all right? And let's say you don't want the cat getting himself, let's say he tipped over something and it landed on him. You wouldn't want that cat, you know, laying there for 24 hours before the next person came in. So that's why I'm really comfortable with, I'd rather have people come in twice, you know, once in the morning, once at night, and then being that you're feeding, you know, canned, that they're getting that. You don't have to worry about giving them the dry food that might put their, you know, system into a tailspin. And that's what I would do, Because cats, because they're so... You know, let's say she's never jumped on top of the refrigerator, and you know, she's bored out of her gourd, so, and there's heat there, that she might try to jump on the refrigerator and then pull something down. You know, we just don't know. And that's why I like in my own, I'd rather be safe than sorry.
Okay, sounds great. Okay. Thank you so much.
You bet. Have a great vacation.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. There you go. Yeah, that's, I would just, that's what some people want to get a cat because, oh, geez, we'll just give her an automatic feeder and we'll just, you know, put it out and we can be gone for the weekend. Or you know, I've heard of people do it for the week and there's no way I would leave an animal and you know, a cat by himself for a week. That is beyond me. But anyway, and so that's why, especially when you are feeding canned or, you know, like raw or whatever to your cat. But I, like I said, things can happen that are very strange. And I know of some strange things that have happened. And so that's why, you know, I'd rather have somebody, you know, the ideal is to hire somebody to come and stay with your cat or your dog when you're not going to be there.
Right.
And it's a lot cheaper than boarding them out and the cat and the dog is in their, you know, in their element. And so even though their humans are missing, at least they've got their territory.
Right. That's familiar.
Right. And then also, too, you know, the house is being watched. I don't worry about somebody breaking into the house. Also, hopefully the person that you hired the animals are a lot better in their own element and with a different human than it is with, you know, the humans gone and, you know, everything's gone. So,
and remember, we had a similar question last week and, you know, with people being home for almost like pretty much the whole year now, people are taking time to go on trips and everything. So I'm sure that adds to it as well.
Well, that's exactly it. And then people just don't realize how hard the pandemic has been on the animals. Mm. First of all, the animals that were at home, not the ones gotten since the pandemic.
Right.
Okay, we'll take that's a whole different story.
Right.
But the ones prior to it, all of a sudden the dog is like, what, don't you have some place to go? The bigger thing is the cats. That, wait a minute, but also what's happening that I've heard too through the grapevine, that because the cats can't snooze all day and then keep you up all night, a lot of those cats that are playing games at night because they slept all day, they're sleeping really good at night because they're humans. They don't get to sleep in toes like they normally do when their humans are gone to work.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, animals, like, unfortunately, that were being kenneled during this pandemic, that all of a sudden humans are home. So the humans, well, I'm home, why kennel the dog? Well, then all of a sudden you're starting opening up and the dog is still not trustworthy in the house, but you're the one that chose to take the kennel away. I always use a kennel for the dog till at least the first two and a half years. When I leave, they're in their kennel. Mm. Okay. And then as they get older, then from a pup, I will leave the kennel door open, like at night. Are they going to sleep in the kennel, or are they going to, whatever? But you do want to slowly wean them away. But that kennel is your best friend. And that's why you should always feed the dog in the kennel. Play the kennel game where you go, kennel, real happy, and you pitch a treat in there. And then when the dog goes in there, then leave the door open, sometimes shut the door, go mosey, get a glass of water, go potty, go answer a phone call. And as long as the dog's being quiet, then a little bit later, come and open it up. But you just want to put them in there a little bit here and there. And then I'd almost said it too, instead of the dog, the cat, get the cat acclimated to a kennel. So that then if you have to go to the vet, or if you want to travel with your cat, or like let's say a storm comes. Another thing too is a pillow. A lot of times people use pillowcases for cats. Let's say a tornado is coming through, to throw the cat into a pillowcase, so at least you got him. But the thing is to acclimate to things that you might need. And people are in a bigger hurry to get rid of the kennel. And a lot of cats are never, I always like with cat with a K. Adeline and Mama Squigs. I started acclimating them to the kennel about 3 weeks before I knew I was going to be taking them in to get fixed. So they didn't have the trauma of going into the kennel, and now they're going for a car ride on top of it. And then they're really pounding when they get to the vet, like, where am I? I feel like aliens pick me up and drop me off. So always get your animals used to the kennel, whether it be a dog and a cat, stuff like that, so that they're not traumatized. Feed the cat in the kennel. Leave the door open for the cat to go in there. Leave the door open. Then you have a lot less setbacks and a lot less problems, and it's more humane on the animal instead of just shoving them in there. Well, this is the only time. But no, you don't know when you might need it. Tornado's coming. Where's your dog? Where's your cat? You can't go, So that's the whole thing, is that a lot of these disasters, people are just beside themselves because the cat and the dog is already picked up on what's coming through, and they're evaporating. And usually, like all of a sudden the cat's hiding and you can't find them.
Mm, yeah.
And so that's why if you got them acclimated to the kennel, let's say there's a chance of maybe tornadoes. Put the cat in the kennel as the storm starts getting closer, so that in case you got to grab that cat, it's in the kennel. We don't have to go find it. Yeah, we don't have to go. Thank you. No, have to go find the cat or the dog. And so that's why dogs are more likely to come to you in time of stress, but cats are, you're on your own. I'm gone. Yeah. I'm hiding. So it's so important to do that, to acclimate your animals to things that you might need. And so that's, my kennel's always up, and I always play the kennel, throw a treat in there, throw a toy in there, sometimes shut it, sometimes not. I always feed them in the kennel. That's just the way it goes. So, okay, here we go. How many hearts does the giant Pacific octopus have? How many hearts does a giant Pacific octopus have? We'll be back. All right, we're winding down for another yet fabulous week of the Katie K9 Show, if I do say so myself. Okay, how many hearts does a giant Pacific octopus have?
8?
Nope. 3.
3, okay.
2 to pump blood to their gills, and 1 pumps blood to the rest of their body. Okay, now hang on to this little fact. How many brains does the Pacific octopus have?
5.
Well, you're doggone close.
Okay.
9.
I just got them mixed up. That's all. The hearts and the brains.
There we go. Okay, 9. 1 central brain, and then 1 small brain in each arm. Oh, I can't. Wow. I don't get that. That is, that is a mind blower. A brain. You know what a brain is? Okay. And they have 9. 1 central brain. Kind of like, okay, then it'd be like if we had a brain on each arm. Remember, they got 8. I think 8 tentacles.
Okay.
Okay. So that means 1 small brain in each arm. Let's say we had, that totally blows my mind.
There's a Netflix documentary. I think it's called Octopus, a Teacher or something. And it's not a documentary. I want to check that out. And wow. So it's about an octopus.
That blows my mind. Now I want to learn more about that. Yeah. That is just totally unbelievable. Okay. Yes. Okay. Okay. Who's up? Where are we at?
This is perfect because this is our main topic. Cindy has more questions about fleas and ticks.
Oh, there we go. Hey, Cindy, how you doing?
Hi. Sorry if you've already said this, but I was outside. I came in and I heard you talking about him. But
no problem.
I have myself a little dog. Okay. We got her at 3.5 pounds, and she's now almost 5 months and 6.5 pounds. Mm-hmm. Never had a little dog. Always had big.
Me too.
Was never going to have another dog because we're getting older, but can stand it.
Yeah.
So things are really different with a little dog.
Yes.
And I worry about all the shots and everything because, yes, as I understand, they give the same shots to a big
200-pound dog. It's the same shot as their little bunchkin there. Yep.
Yeah, so I'm spreading them out as much as I can.
Nice.
I did give her the NexGard. She seemed a little lethargic, but nothing bad. My big concern is where we take her a lot of times. I have had family members that have been really sick with Lyme's disease. So I wonder about that. I know I was using, until she got just this last month, I was using purification on a handkerchief. Is that what you had recommended for natural?
Purification, I haven't heard of that.
Okay.
Because I've been
it's
using
a young living oil.
Oh, is it? Okay. I use a diatomaceous earth in a baby sock. And you put it and zip tie it, and you put like a dab, you know, a pat on the neck and shoulders, a pat where the tail is, and then a pat on the chest. And if a tick crawls through, it scrapes the shell, and then they dehydrate and die. Okay? But see, now you also got to remember with the little dogs, other than having, you know, the little dogs, usually they're with you. You know, they're not in the tall grass like a lab or a shepherd or, you know, a retriever would be.
No, but she's so little, all the grass is tall.
Yeah, oh, that's true. That's very true. But, I mean, if you don't, because the taller dead grass holds the most ticks, all right? But anyway, and so I wouldn't be so bent, when you got a little one like this, I wouldn't be so bent on chemicals in or on. I would just, you know, right now, the tick season, when warm days, cool nights, they're nuts. Right. Then when we get to warm days, warm nights, the ticks back off a lot. And so that's what you want to do is that, you know, and when you got such a little munchkin, it's not like you have a St. Bernard or a Great Dane body to go over. It's going to be really quick to find them. And so what color?
Yeah, she's pretty much all white, but her hair is so long. She's a little teddy bear.
Yep. But so she fluffy or drapey?
Fluffy.
Okay. But you can get a flea comb. And that will snag ticks as well as fleas.
Okay.
And so I would chew. There's no way I would, you know, my Ethel was 3 pounds and my Gilligan is 10 pounds. And they've never, since I've had them, they never had any chemicals in or on. Because now the NexGard, have you read about that? Like I said, you know, anything, why take the chance? I'd rather have them get Lyme than what NexGard, or I shouldn't, I'm not picking on that brand name, just what the chemicals can do. What's the possibility?
So you don't believe in a Lyme shot either, though.
No, because what you're just going to do, you can have a snap test done. Or, you know, you can have it, if you're worried, you can have it done every 6 months. And so if they do come up positive, you're right on top of it, okay? They haven't had any chances. But what they do is draw the blood, and then, you know, the snap test for heartworm, for anaplasmosis, which is a tick disease, and Lyme. All right. And so it's just up to yourself. I've had people that did that for 2 years, every 6 months, because they stopped. And what happens is that they finally realized, okay, we'll just do it once a year. And so I think we're so scared. Fear drives a lot. All right. Uh-huh. And so that's why. But then you got to look at the munchkins that we're working with here. And
so you don't do the HeartGard either, then?
I don't do any chemical in or on my dogs that I will not do in or on myself. But I have them tested. And but like I say, my little guys aren't in the thick of things. Like, they're not out when there's like 50 trillion mosquitoes out. You know, when bewitching hour happens, we're in. or they're in, and I'm, you know, but and they're in. I don't use any chemicals in or on me for mosquitoes. I might use Listerine. You know, I'll spritz myself with Listerine. And then, like you said, there's some of the oils that I've got, some natural oils that you can do that are in a spritz bottle that like Amy DeLong can put together. But so there's a whole, you know, that's it. Like I say, the small, you know, like I say, my Ethel was 3 pounds. And it's just like, boy, when the little guys tank quickly because their system is so, you know, well, sort of a better word, delicate.
But you have to do the rabies and the other shots, right?
Well, the only shot that is required is rabies. All the others, your discretion. what you want to do. And rabies is good for 3 years, and then that's, the rabies is in Minnesota, as long as you can prove that your dog has had one shot of rabies, all right? And this is another thing, too, you can maybe work with the vet, because you have a munchkin that, you know, like, okay, do I have to give the whole shot? Can I do half? You know what I mean? You got to work that out. You got to open the discussion. You got to empower yourself and find out what can be done. But remember, rabies is the only shot that's required. All of them, all the rest are what you want to do, what you've learned, how you empowered yourself, and what is going to be the protocol for your dog. That's what you, it's okay. Your, okay?
Can I ask you one more quick question?
Sure.
What age would you have her fixed?
That's so up in there. Personally, for me, female dogs, you know, between 6 months to a year, and some boy dogs, as long as their testicles have dropped. But there's a big discussion nowadays on getting them fixed. The only thing that I strongly disagree with is getting them fixed under 6 months. That can be very detrimental to them. But that rescue groups tried so hard to give people, you know, here, you can get them fixed, take it in, you know, and 50% would. So finally the rescue group said, you know what, if you're not going to do it, we're doing it for you. You know, and so that's why, but, you know, the new thought out there is that you let them, like, go through a couple heat cycles, or you let the boy dog become, you know, till two or two and a half. We've done such a good job educating, people to get your dog spayed or neutered. And there is unless you're going to have a breeder dog, I don't see any sense, because the people that your vet says, no, get the female fixed for 2 years, they want to go through four heat cycles. I can guarantee you they're going to be puppies along the way because somebody wasn't paying attention. And so that's why, like, that's tough for the average person to understand the heat cycle and what they should do and not do and how long it lasts and stuff. So I'm perfectly comfortable with, we've been doing 6 months or better, you know, for forever. All right. And everything has been very well. But like I said, the under 6 months, that gets a little bit touchier.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for your help.
Okay. You bet. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's just your discretion, folks. You've got to, and don't do the Katie K9 says. My job here is not to, these are my opinions, all right? I'm not a vet, but it's just like, I've done my due diligence. I've read, through the years of what I've seen and heard and what I went through. And so that's why you've got to, my job is to give you the places to go, to empower yourself, the books to read, that so that you can make decisions that you are comfortable. The three words vets hate. As Katie K9 says, don't do as I say. I want you to empower yourself so you know why you're making these decisions, not just because it came out of my mouth.
Right.
All right.
Yep.
Because then, like, if the vet gives you something, you know, you can all of a sudden, you know what you're talking about. So you can discuss and figure out, okay, what are we going to do? You know, you and the vet, mm-hmm. you know, how are we going to work through this? And if the vet's not going to work with you, well, then hey, find another vet. But the whole thing is that, you know, we got to all work together here because we all need each other. And so that's what you got to do. But don't be spouting Katie K9 says. All I'm doing is telling you what I've learned and then hopefully and giving you like Whole Dog Dirt. I mean, let's see, dogsnaturallymagazine.com, healthypets.mercola.com, hemopet.org. You know, there's so many places for you to go get information and then make decisions. PatMcKay.com, Natural Immunities. But anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks. Hope you did great. Now I get to go home to the, we'll see what kind of shape we're in next Sunday. I have a whole week of four grandkids living with me. Sardine can. Have a great week. Train on.